Chapter 6. Bernard and the Director. By 8 o'clock, it was getting dark, and the loudspeakers at the golf course announced the closing time. Lenina and Henry climbed into the helicopter and flew off. Below them were the enormous buildings of lower-caste flats, and on the other side of a large wall, the smaller houses reserved for Alpha and Beta members. They flew past the majestic buildings of the crematorium. Its 4 tall chimneys were fully illuminated, and on the top of each one was a red danger signal.
"Why do the chimneys have balconies around them?"
Lenina asked. "That's where the phosphorus is collected from the bodies that are being cremated," Henry said. "The bodies produce nearly 400 tons of phosphorus every year.
It's good to think that we can continue to be socially useful, even after we're dead, by helping to make plants grow."
"But it's strange that alphas and betas don't make any more plants grow than those horrible little gammas and deltas and epsilons down there," Lenina observed.
"All men are chemically equal," Henry answered. "And besides, even epsilons do important work."
Suddenly, Lenina remembered the first time she woke up in the middle of the night, when she was still at school, and realized that the sleep-teaching machine was still talking to her.
"Everyone works for everyone else," the quiet voice was saying. "We need everyone. Even epsilons are useful."
She remembered her first shock of fear and surprise, and then how she fell asleep again, comforted by the repetitions.
"I suppose epsilons like being epsilons," she said slowly.
"Of course they do," Henry answered. "They don't know anything else. We wouldn't like it, of course, but that's because we've got different genes and we've been conditioned differently."
"I'm happy I'm not an epsilon," Lenina said very firmly.
"And if you were an epsilon," said Henry, "your conditioning would have made you just as happy that you weren't a beta or an alpha."
They landed on the roof of Henry's building in the middle of London and went straight to the dining hall. There they had an excellent meal, and Soma was served with a coffee. Lenina took 2 half-gram tablets, and Henry took 3. Then they walked across the street to the Westminster Abbey Cabaret. The sign on the front advertised, "All the latest synthetic music." Inside, 400 couples were dancing in the warm, friendly world of a Soma holiday, and Lenina and Henry joined them. 2 hours later, the loudspeakers announced, "Good night, dear friends." Lenina and Henry left with all of them and took the lift up to Henry's room. Despite the soma, Lenina didn't forget her contraceptives. Years of sleep teaching and being taught how to use contraceptives from age 12 to 17 had made the actions automatic. During the next few weeks, Lenina wondered more than once whether she should change her mind about the holiday to the Savage Reservation with Bernard Marks. He was so strange, and he seemed unhappy, when she knew very well from her sleep teaching that everyone's happy now. She couldn't understand him. But the thought of flying west for a whole week was very inviting. Only a few people in the conditioning centre had ever been inside a Savage Reservation. As an Alpha Plus psychologist, Bernard was one of the few men she knew who could get permission to visit one. One evening she discussed Bernard with Henry. "Some men don't respond to conditioning. Bernard's one of them," Henry explained. "It's fortunate that he's good at his job, otherwise the director would have fired him long ago." A few days later, Bernard stood nervously outside the director's room. He knew the director disliked him. He walked in and gave the director a piece of paper. "This is for you to sign, director," he said as confidently as possible. "It's a permit to enter a savage reservation." The director looked at him in an unfriendly manner. But the permit came from the World Controller's office and had already been signed by Mustafa Mond. Everything was perfectly in order. The director had no choice but to sign the permit. As he was signing it, he saw that the permit was for visiting the reservation in New Mexico. He looked at Bernard in surprise.
"I was there once too," he said. "How long ago was it? 25 years ago, I suppose. Like you, I wanted to see the savages. I got a permit for New Mexico and went there for my summer holiday with the girl I was going out with at the time.
I think she was a beta minus."
The director was speaking very quietly. Bernard realized that he was almost talking to himself, that he wasn't really aware of Bernard in the room. Bernard was fascinated. He stood very still, hoping to hear the whole story.
"I remember she was blonde," the director continued. "We saw the savages and rode about on horses and all that, and then, it was almost the last day of our holiday, she got lost."
Bernard listened attentively. He couldn't believe that the director was telling him all this.
"We went riding on one of the mountains," the director continued. "It was terribly hot. After lunch, we went to sleep. Or at least I did. When I woke up, she wasn't there. It was raining heavily, and there was thunder and lightning. The horses ran away and I tried to catch them, but I fell and hurt my leg. I had lost my soma, so I was in terrible pain and could hardly walk. I looked for her everywhere, but I couldn't find her. I thought she might have gone back to the hotel. It took me hours to get to the hotel. But she wasn't there."
The director was silent for a few moments, then continued.
"The next day there was a search, but we couldn't find her. She must have fallen somewhere or been eaten by a mountain lion. Ford knows it was horrible. I still dream about it sometimes."
"You must have had a terrible shock," Bernard said.
The director was surprised by the sound of Bernard's voice and suddenly realized he had been talking about the distant past. This was forbidden. Only the present was important, and he was talking to Bernard of all people. The director was angry with himself. He gave Bernard the permit and said,
"I would like to say, Mr. Marx, that I'm not at all happy with the reports I receive of your behaviour after working hours. My workers must be above suspicion, particularly Alphas, who must make a special effort to obey the rules. If I ever hear of any problem again, I shall ask for you to be transferred to Iceland."
Bernard left the room and shut the door loudly behind him. Refusing to obey the rules suddenly made him feel strong and important. And besides, he didn't really believe that he would be transferred to Iceland. The director was just trying to frighten him. As he walked along the corridor, Bernard actually smiled.